Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
Can you lift your hands toward heaven one more time and just honor the name of the Lord? The Bible said, the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Even the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was nothing made that was made. And so our very existence is the function of His handiwork. And so we have no choice but to honor Him, to praise Him, and to bless Him. So if you understand that you are alive today because of His mercies, and you turn all the praise and glory to His name. Talk to Him from the depth of your heart. He said every good and every special, pleased and gift cometh from above. It comes from the Father of light, in whom is no darkness or variableness of turning. He's the one who blesses us with all good things. Even when we are in danger, He's the one who delivers. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Maketh me lie down in green pasture. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He said, though I walk through the valleys of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. May thou preparest the table for me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Even in the valley of the shadow of death, He is there with us. The one who delivers us from the powers of darkness. You are here tonight because of His mercy. Says, for the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, His compassion filleth not, they are new every morning. If you are of a grateful heart, can you thank Him? Be deliberate about it. Give Him thanks. Tell Him how much you love Him. Tell Him how much you are grateful. If we don't do this, then we don't even know why we have gathered. Because we have come to honor His name. Thank you, Father. Blessed be the name of the Lord God Almighty, who was, who is, and who is to come. We have come to bless, to honor, to praise, and to glorify You. Father, so we ask that tonight You will touch us and cause everybody's life to beam that glory, that mighty essence that comes from You alone. Let Your name be glorified. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed. Thank You, Father. You may be seated. Glory to God. Because we have one night, I just want to take our time to establish a few foundational blocks before I begin to really touch the forces that prevent us from going higher in the exercise of dominion, and then we trust God for the move of His power. Praise God. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. That was the first scripture that spoke about the creation of man. And it's so interesting that the moment God decided to embark on the project of man, the first thing God desired for the man to walk in was dominion. So He goes to tell us the significance of dominion as far as our existence is concerned. He said, and God said, let us make man in our own image, after our likeness, and He said, and let them have dominion. Let us make man in our own image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fowls of the air, over the cattle, and over the earth, and over everything that creepeth upon the face of the earth. So man was created to exercise dominion. And dominion over the birds of the air, the fish of the water, and everything that walketh upon the face of the earth. I dare to say that if you are not walking in dominion, then you can't fulfill the mandate of creation. Because the one who created us saw the need and the essence for us to exercise dominion. And so it's important and imperative for anyone who hopes to maximize existence to understand what dominion is about and to walk in dominion. It doesn't matter if you are male, it doesn't matter if you are female. That scripture we just read said in the next verse now, it said male and female, he made them both. So it doesn't matter your gender, you must walk in dominion. And it doesn't matter your age, the very day the man was created was the day he was asked to walk in dominion. And so anybody who is not walking in dominion should be ready to live a life that is pitiable. Because as we are going to be seeing, there are many forces on earth that will make it difficult for you to walk in dominion. Because the moment you walk in dominion, you come into the fullness of the meaning of your existence. You can never find meaning for your existence except as you begin to function in dominion. And so very quickly, let's understand what dominion really means from biblical understanding, so that when we speak about walking in dominion, we actually know what we are talking about. We don't want to assume what dominion is. What is this force that is so important that God had to create man to walk in as the very first element committed to him? If you study that word dominion in Genesis 1:26 and Genesis 1:28, is the Hebrew word radah. And that word means five things. When we speak of dominion in biblical context, we are talking about five things. Number one, it speaks of authority to exercise governance. Authority to exercise governance. Because the world where we are in, there is a necessity for leadership and governance. So when God gave man dominion, he was bestowing upon him the power to bring creation under governance and to establish order on the face of the earth. And so anywhere there is no dominion, chaos is permitted. Anywhere there is no dominion, disorderliness is permitted. The reason chaos will be arrested, the reason disorderliness can be arrested, is because dominion is in place. In fact, before God created man, we saw that the earth God created suddenly fell into chaos. In Genesis chapter 1 verse 1, it says God created the heavens and the earth. And then in verse 2, it said, and the earth was void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of the Lord moved upon the face of the water. So the earth God created originally was destroyed. It took dominion for God to reestablish order. The earth we are living in today is not the first earth. There was an earth created along the heavens in Genesis chapter 1 verse 1. That earth was joy and chaos came upon that earth. So God came back to re-exercise dominion by recreating the face of the earth. And if you notice in that scripture, God was not begging. He was giving commandments. He said, let there be light. And immediately light appeared. He will look and said, let the dry ground appear. And the dry ground appeared. That's dominion at work. If you don't have dominion, chaos will be all over the place. So when God created us and gave us dominion, he was giving us authority to stop chaos. And so when we talk about dominion, we are talking governance. So when we are around, things can go wrong. Things shouldn't go wrong in our environment. Everything going wrong in our environment is a report card revealing to us that we are not walking in dominion.
If we are around, things shouldn't go wrong in our families. Things shouldn't go wrong in our bodies. So when we are talking dominion, we are not trying to be theological. It's a reawakening into the mandate of our creation. That we are the hope of this generation. We are the hope of the earth. It's our presence that brings order. God was the one doing it before, as we saw in Genesis 1, verse 2 to 25. But they decided to hand the mandate over to you and I. So that when there is chaos on earth, you don't expect God to come down from heaven again. If you are around, then you have the authority on the behalf of God to establish dominion. When Christians mature, it's not everything they say, God show up. No, when you show up, God shows up. Hope you know that before he gave you dominion, he created you in his image and in his likeness. So that when you appear, his image appears. When you appear, his presence appears. On the basis of that, when you are saying, God, come, what you are asking for is for two presences of God to show up. When you came, his presence already came. If you are aware that my coming is the authority to change the equation that appears, then you begin to exist. So the first definition of dominion is authority for governance. The second definition for dominion is the power to prevail over contrary circumstances. Please understand these definitions. They are very simple. But if you don't know what dominion is, then we have no discussion here in the first place. Because as you walk through the earth, you are going to observe that contrary circumstances will come against you. They will come against your career. They will come against your purpose. And when they come, it's not a time to beg. It's the time to live. Because we live by exercising dominion. Contrary circumstances. When Jesus walked the earth, we saw diverse contrary circumstances that came against him. At one point they were traveling and they were in the boat and Jesus was sleeping and everybody was crying and wailing. They were wailing, the master was sleeping. Because see, people who have dominion, they have cure to anxiety. They don't get anxious under circumstances because they know that the answer is with them. Everybody was shouting. The master was sleeping. And at one point, they got overwhelmed. And they tapped him. Master, careth not thou that we perish. And he woke up. I thought he would jump and start looking for what to do. Instead of confronting the problem, he didn't attend to the problem. He looked at them. He said, oh ye of little faith, how long shall I be with you? Sir, boat is sinking. Why not we talk about that later? He knows that even if the boat sank, he will command it to come out of the water. Because both the water and the boat are under his authority. And when he finished with them, the Bible said, he turned to the winds and the waves. And he said, peace, be still. Now the question is, who talks to air? Who talks to the water? It's the man who carries dominion. I know you will rush to say it's Jesus. No, it's not Jesus. It's any man who carries dominion. Jesus is the first carrier, but he has extended the same dominion to you. That's why in John 14:12, it said, what I do, it said, very assuredly, I say unto you, the works that I do, it said, you shall do also, and greater works. So Jesus is telling us, the things you see me do, are not for me only as Jesus. What makes me do it has been handed over to you. You too exercise dominion. I tell you, nature will come against you. You know why? Because even creation is in bondage. In Romans 8:21, it said creation is under the bondage of corruption. Why do you think you plant flower? You need to add fertilizer, add water, add manure for it to grow. But you don't plant grass, it grows. The one you don't want happens, but the one you want does not happen. Because creation is in bondage. A generation needs to wake up that will begin to talk even to flowers. Because dominion is not just about the sick. It's authority over nature. In Joshua chapter 1 verse 12, Joshua went to battle and it was becoming night, and he knew that at night they won't fight well. The Bible said Joshua spoke to the sun and said, let the sun remain upon the mountains of Ajalon. Let the moon remain upon the valley of Gibeon. And he said the sun did not make haste to go down in the day that God hearkened to the voice of a man. So dominion is not just about praying for the sick. The Bible said the earnest expectation of the creation waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. We have come here to stop contrary situations, whether it is in nature, or it is from wicked men, or it is from cities. You say, my name. Mark 16:17, cast out devils. So we have dominion over nature. We have dominion over spirits, demonic spirits. And we have dominion over the agenda of wicked men. Believe me, you will need these three, unless you are mediocre. If you are doing anything worthwhile in this life, you will meet the contrary power of nature. You will meet the wicked agenda of wicked men. And you will meet Satan on the way. This is why you must have dominion. They will come. They won't rest. They will come. But the thing is, when they come, it's not time for you to cry. It's time for you to testify. Because it's contrary circumstances that gives us opportunity to manifest. Light does not shine in light. It said the light shines in the darkness, and darkness comprehended not. This is not our platform. A stage is not our platform. The challenges of life that we overcome are the platforms that God has allowed for us. No wonder the Bible said, surely they shall gather. It says, not by me. Isaiah 54 verse 15. It says, for everyone that gather against you. He didn't say they will fall for God's sake. He said they will fall for your sake. There is something in you. He said every tongue that rises against you. Verse 17. He didn't say God will judge. He said in judgment thou shalt condemn. He said this is the heritage of the sons of God. It's our heritage to stop contrary forces of nature. It's our heritage to stop the agenda of wicked men. It's our heritage to stop Satan. If they resist the devil, they will flee from you. We have made Christianity a religion. A lot of rituals, piety, but no power. He said there's a group of people that have the form of godliness. He said, but they deny the power. You were created to walk in dominion. You fell from it in Adam, but in Christ you were restored. You fell in Adam, in Christ you were restored. So you have authority. Listen, when things go wrong, don't cry. When things go wrong, don't run. Stand your ground. Speak the word of God. They will back out. Even Satan, the Bible says, resist the devil, he will flee. Even Satan knows that where you stand your ground, he has no power. The reason he prevails is because Christians are not sure. Should we call on God? Should we run? Should we call our uncle? Should we call our auntie? All of those things will fail if you have not built confidence in the word of God and what he has given you. It is after you are standing your ground that God will open many channels of escape. That's when God can bring an uncle. That's when God can bring resources. There are channels of escape, but they are only available to those who stand their ground. So when we talk dominion, we are talking authority for governance. See, when you come anywhere, insist for order to exist. When we talk dominion, we are talking power to prevail against contrary circumstances. Your destiny can't fail, sir. Anybody who told you your destiny is about to fail lied to you. He said, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. He said, they are thoughts of good and not of evil, to give you a hope and a future. Believe me when I tell you this. I'm not only telling you scriptures, I'm telling you my life story. stand your ground and see the things that will move for you to pass. A few years ago, I was a teacher in the secondary school. All our hope was resting on one uncle, and Satan took him out. I didn't know authority yet, and he looked as if all hopes were gone until the Holy Ghost began to teach me. He said, you are the light of the world. I said, what? He said, don't look for any light. You are the light. And I went to my Bible. I saw that Jesus said, so long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. He that follow me will not walk in darkness. And I said, but Jesus is the light. He said, read further. I now read again. Jesus himself now said, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. You are a city set upon the hill that cannot be hid. I read further. I now saw Paul say in 1 Thessalonians 5:5. He said, you are children of light. He said, let your light shine. Let your light shine. You are not the one looking for answer. You are the answer your generation is looking for. Suddenly, the same teacher that was locked behind a lab, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but that was not where God wanted me to be. The moment I woke up and realized it, I said, hey, Satan, your power over this family is over. I will rise first to show you are not in charge. Jesus is in charge, and he has put me here as his representative. Immediately, the doors opened. Encounters began to happen. I saw an eagle soaring. I was on the wings. I saw a horse galloping. I was on top. Nations began to open. The brother who was in a school looking forward to a salary at the end of the month, suddenly, every day of my life, resources began to look for me. And I'm wondering, what changed? Mentality. Dominion has come. See, somebody will break into a realm of understanding tonight, and it will change your story forever. Sometimes I look around and I wonder, how did we get here? See, if you find dominion, anywhere you are, you will dominate from there. I've not run to Canada. I've not run to the US. I'm still in Nigeria, but I have staff in the United States. I'm talking dominion, sir. There is no force that can bring you down. There is something on your inside, but you came here so that I teach you how to let it. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Dominion is power over contrary forces. There was a wicked man, a wicked prince, that said, this family, nobody will amount to anything. Today we are making global impact. Whether the devil likes it or not, he has no choice. The best thing he can do is to run. Because if he jumps me, he's in trouble. Authority to cast out devils. Authority to resist the devil. That's what God gave us. From creation. It's not today. From creation. We lost it in Adam. God insisted and sent Jesus to restore us. So that we can walk in that authority. You have power on your inside. You are just not aware. And the day you know which is today, it will begin to speak. Number three, what is dominion? Dominion is the power to live in the glorified realm of life. We were called not to live a pitiable life. We were called to live a glorified life. Because that was what God created us to walk in the first place. That's why Romans 3 verse 23 says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That means we were created to live and function in the glory of God. You were created to live in glory. So when we fell, the Bible said we fell from the glory of God. And when Jesus came, he didn't just come to die so that our sins would be forgiven. Yes, his death took away sins, but that was not the whole errand. He took away sins so that you can be restored to glory. In John 17:22, he said, Father, the glory that you have given me, I wish God will open somebody's understanding tonight. He said, the glory that you have given me, he said, I have given to them so that they will be one just as we are one. So the glory of Jesus is what he gave you and I. We share in that glory. Is it not scary that when you show up, people see you like Christ? Because the glory the Father gave it, he said he has given us. And Paul came and reiterated it in Romans 8:30. He said, him that he predestinated for you, he predestinated. Him that he predestinated, he called. Him that he called, he justified. Him that he justified, he said he glorified. He didn't say he will glorify. He said he glorified. That means we are already glorified. The glory will only grow as we look at the world or as we are raptured. The Bible says we always unveil face. 2 Corinthians 3:18. Beholding as in the glass the glory of the Lord, we are changed into that image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit. So every day we are growing in glory. We are growing in glory. But what is glory? Glory is not just light. No! Glory is the weight of God's power. Glory is the honor of God. Glory is the majesty of God. That's all Jesus shared with us. No wonder the Bible says we are seated with him in heavenly places, far above principalities and powers. So we are sharing in his honor. We are sharing. Now, let me explain something to you. I know most of you have heard before that the church has taught that God can't share his glory. What the church is talking about are the praises for what he does. So when somebody is healed, we say it's God that did it, because he's the one working in us. If somebody is delivered, we give him the praise. So when they say God will not share his glory, they are not talking about his power. They are not talking about his majesty. They are not talking about his honor. They are not talking about his nature. He gave us all of that already. Because if you don't have glory, how can you be one with God? God is a God of glory. How can you be God's son and you don't carry glory? So it's a praise that belongs to God that he does not share. But when we talk glory, we are talking God's nature, God's essence. We have that nature. When we talk glory, we are talking his majesty. We are seated with Christ in heavenly places. When we talk glory, we are talking his excellence and brilliance. We are the light of the world, the same way he's the light of the world. When we talk glory, we are talking the honor that he has. He said, where I am, there you shall be also. That's dominion. And anybody who carries glory naturally prevails. If the VC of this university enters here now, he doesn't need to do anything. There is a protocol that will be aligned immediately because of where he's sitting. As the vice chancellor, whether you like him or you don't like him does not matter. He's the VC. When he comes here, he has his place. Nation they enter, they divide the army. Every territory they enter, they divide it. In the desert, there was no economic structure. Manna was there for them. Nothing could limit them. When they needed water, the Bible said he graved the rock and the water gushed out. In the wilderness, over 4 million people survived. You are in Port Harcourt, and then they tell you you can't survive because of the environment. You go to the wilderness, go and walk through the Sahara Desert, come back and tell me if you will compare Port Harcourt with it. Do you know the kings they fought? The Bible spoke of Sihon the Amorite, king of Heshbon. It spoke of Og, the king of Bashan. These were men that were like beasts. They were beastly men, men who looked like tigers. They fought them with stones and prevailed. They didn't even have a specialized military training. They didn't have specialized weapons. But if they carry stone, they will defeat you. Because it's not about the stone. It's about the cloud that covered them. There was a cloud. The armies of heaven went with them. The host of heaven walked with them. Zeboah himself was there. When they brought Balaam to curse them, that was when they realized these are not ordinary men. Because Balaam wanted to curse them, there was no enchantment against Jacob. There was no divination against Israel. Why? When we went into Abuja, a woman was so offended. What do these people think? Who do they think they are? And she said she will pull us down.
She went to sleep that night, first night, and she had an encounter.
She saw elders, elders of heaven, walking into the city. Some ancient men of the spirit realm. They were walking in line into the city. And God allowed her. When she saw to the end, I was behind them coming. That was when it dawned on her. There are people you don't fight. Because when you want to slap them, something will slap you. When you want to hit them, something will hit you. Did you not read your Bible? It says, gather together, you will scatter. Take counsel together, it will come for naught. Speak the word, it shall not stand. For their God is in their midst. There is something happening with us. There is someone on our inside. We are in the congregation of the righteous. We are in the midst of spirit of judgment made perfect. We are standing among innumerable company of angels. There is a canopy on our lives. Dominion. You know, God is wise, infinitely wise. When he created man, and all he gave man was dominion, he knew that's a package. It's deeper than onions. When you see, you see layers, and it's unending. Dominion is glorified existence. And then, because of our time, number four, dominion is the power to reign in life. That means it's majesty and royalty. People who carry dominion are rulers. Dominion is not for slaves. It's not for servants. Dominion is kingship. Romans 5:17. It says, they which receive abundance of grace and of the gifts of righteousness, they do what? They reign in life. It means the king. The word is basileus. The king through life. So we don't beg. We reign. We rule. We dominate. That's what God has in mind for you. There is something about you that makes you come on top of the problem. Sometimes you don't even know. It just brings you up. And when you read the Bible, you'll find it. Take for instance, a king dreamt. And then called the wise men. Okay, tell us dream, let's interpret. They say, I'm not telling you. You are not telling us. So what do you want us to do? Who will tell you your dream? He said, if I tell you, you will lie. If you can interpret, tell me the dream. And all the wise men of Babylon said, what you are asking for is not possible for mortals. It exists only among the holy gods. And then Daniel stood up and said, give us time. We live among the gods. We walk among men, but we live among gods. Give us time. He said, there is a God that revealed secrets. We know where he is. And when Daniel spoke, you will think Daniel will go and start doing rituals. No. He went to sleep. It's his nativity, sir. It's his realm. He doesn't beg to access it. He said, then was the dream revealed to Daniel in a night vision. And he came back the next day, oh king, this is your dream. I could imagine how the mouth of the king will open. When Daniel spoke, he said, of the truth, your God is the true God. You know, we are begging with everybody. And we are telling them our God is great. And they are wondering, how is our God great? Everything that affects us affects them. And everything that affects them affects us. How will we now tell them our God is great? Our strongest message is not what we say, it's what we live. That's why God didn't give us just message. He gave us a power. He said, tarry until you are endued with power. You can't be telling them your God is great, your God is good, your God delivers, and everything they are suffering is what you are also suffering. That's why he gave us authority. He gave us dominion to operate like royals, like kings, like monarchs. And it's not just we talking. This is what the Bible affirms. In 1 Peter 2:9, it says you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. So it's not just one or two or three amongst us. All of us. We are a kingdom of priests and kings. You are a royal priesthood. God's special people called to showcase his glory, his praises, and his splendors. In Revelation chapter 1 verse 6, it says unto him that washed us and made us kings and priests unto God. Why do you think God is called King of Kings? We are the other kings. We are the ones. He didn't say he's King of Angels. He's called King of Kings. Who are the kings? Unto him that washed us and made us what? Kings and priests. We are the kings. And he said, where the word of the king is, there is power. That's why he said, the power of life and death is in our tongue. Angels don't have that power. We have it. Because we are kings. When we talk, things happen. But we are not aware. And Satan is taking advantage of our ignorance to make us slaves. And so he said, I have seen an abomination under the sun. He said, princes are trekking while beggars are riding on horses. When dominion comes, we correct the formula. We correct the program. We correct the protocol. I prophesy over someone. As you walk out of this meeting, you will function in the fullness of divine dominion.
Ojo du da bueno, hoy vine a pasar aquí vivo. En el da bueno, ojo du da bueno, hoy vine a pasar.
Eternal life. 1 John 5:11. This is the record. God has given us eternal life. Verse 12. The life is in the Son. Whoever has the Son has life. So when we receive Jesus, we receive the God life. No religion carries the God life. There's a spirit in you now. We are the only ones who have the spirit of God living in us. 1 Corinthians 6:17-18. Him that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. The Holy Ghost lives in us. He said that spirit of truth, he shall be with you and in you forever. That's not religion. That's divinity in and at work in a man. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So you didn't join a good religion. God came into you to live through you. The question is, this life you are living, does it resemble God living? If God were to be living with the quality of his life be like this one we have, sick once every month. So we have not understood the call of the Christian faith. There's an anointing on your life. An empowerment of a spirit is at work in you. It says you have an unction from the Holy One. 1 John 2:20-27. You have an unction. You need no man to teach you. That unction teaches you all things. There's a spirit empowering you. Paul said in Philippians 2:13, it is God that worketh in us, both to will and do of his good pleasure. So when you see us do anything, it's God at work. So our job is to learn how to give God more room so that God can do more. This is the call of the Christian faith. Giving God allowance to express himself through you. In 1 Corinthians 1:31, it says Christ is made unto us wisdom. So we are not wise just because we study physics and philosophy. We are wise because a spirit is thinking through us. In 1 Corinthians 2:16, it says you have the mind of Christ. Is that a religion? So you must understand that we are here to give God a room for expression. That's why we are called the house of God. That's why we are called the body of Christ. God lives in us and expresses himself through us. And until we are awoken to that reality, we can't have dominion. And one of the greatest attacks of Satan is to make it impossible for you to have that awakening. That you are just a container that God lives through. That you are a vessel that God manifests through. He wants you to see yourself as one helpless individual, apart from God, doing his best to survive. It's good to do your best, but let it not negate what God is doing inside you. God has not called us to laziness, but we must give him opportunity to express himself through us. This is the fight of Satan. And this is why he has set up forces that negate our rising to functioning in dominion. I want to lead 7 of those forces quickly. If you avoid them, dominion will be natural to you. I came by prayer. I will say in prayer.
Oh, when I leave this world, I will go. I came by prayer.
I came by prayer.
I will say in prayer.
I will say in prayer.
Oh, when I leave this world,
when I leave this world.
I will go.
I come by prayer. Forces that negate our functionality in dominion. Number one is sin and iniquity. The first man God created by his own hand spoke to directly and gave dominion, lost it because of sin. If you give yourself to sin, you will lose your dominion. The first errand of sin is deception. Sin deceives. The Bible said in Genesis 1:26, God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." So the man was created to be like God. Then God looked at the man, Genesis 1:28, blessed him, and said, "Be fruitful, multiply, replenish, subdue, have dominion over the whole earth." He made the man like God, gave the man the authority of God. Satan shows up in Genesis chapter 3. Did God say you shouldn't eat of this fruit? Why? He said, God know that the day you eat of it, you will be like God. The question is, how were you created? You were already created like God. You didn't ask for it. That was how God gifted it to you, without you asking. Are you the one now to discover how to be like God? If Satan knew how to be like God, why is he suggesting it to you? Why didn't he eat it and become like God? That's the deception of sin. You are a young lady. The moment you came into the university, all the advice your mother gave you to keep yourself from the week of matriculation, Satan begin to whisper. There is fun on campus. You didn't come here to read books. It begins to deceive you. If you don't have a boyfriend, it means you are not beautiful or you are not wise. All of a sudden, it begins to lure you into immorality. You are missing something. Until you get involved in immorality, you won't know what it means to be a mature girl. Where did you read it from? That it takes immorality to be mature. Who told you that? Deception. And you find them, they can't think. They want to do it. A young boy comes to campus from matriculation. They say, "For in this campus, those who rule here, they must join an occult group. If you don't join, you don't belong." How many of them who belong have received any award? Didn't you ask questions? Have they honored any of them on convocation day? Have you heard before? How many of them are relevant where it matters? And then they drag themselves into bushes, cutting themselves with matches. You want to belong, and they are treating you like a goat that is about to be slaughtered. And to you, it means you belong. How many kings of the earth have you seen macheted? How many presidents have you seen that they say for you to be relevant, they machete you? They do that to thieves, criminals, and useless people. But they go and put their body to be caught, thinking they are becoming relevant because of the deception of sin. And when they get involved in sin, they get defied. And the moment you get defied, God can't walk with you. In Habakkuk chapter 1 verse 13, it says, "Thou, O Lord, art of a purer eyes." It says, "Your eyes can't behold iniquity." So anybody who gives himself to sin separates himself from God. And if we are separated from God, we can never do anything apart from God. John 15 verse 1 and 2, "I am the vine. You are the branches." He said, "Without me, you can do nothing." It's as you are connected to me that you exercise dominion. There's no glory in your life if you are not connected to Jesus. There's no authority in your life if you are not connected. So what Satan does, he knows he can't fight that authority. But he introduces something to you that makes you throw that authority away. And that one thing he keeps introducing is sin. It's iniquity. He said in Isaiah 59 verse 2, he said, your iniquity has separated you from God. This is what makes the abomination the Bible spoke about to come to effect. Kings, princes, striking, beggars riding on horses. So you see a Christian beggarly, a Christian who should be the salt of the earth, who should be the light of the world, who should be the carrier of the glory of God. Masturbation, sexual immorality, example practice, lying, exaggeration, all forms of sin makes him useless. You think by cheating in exam you will succeed? Can I assure you, paper won't make you anything in this life. There are many young ladies who have disflowered themselves, sleeping around with lecturers for good grade. Go to the market. You will understand that you need more than paper. If God does not go with you, you will see how useless you have made yourself. And so you find young girls, young men, the glory that God put on their life, they lost it by committing evil and iniquity. And they can no longer exercise dominion. They become stranded in a world that they should rule. Forces that hinder dominion. Listen, you have the mind of Christ. Read. There's no physics that can intimidate you. There's no chemistry. There's no mathematics that can intimidate you. There's no engineering. There's no medicine that can intimidate you. You have the mind of Christ. You know all things. I'm not talking to you as a novice. I have a PhD. So I'm talking to you as one who has gone through the system. There's no science or art subject that can intimidate you. There's something inside you. Sit down, read, and see how you will mess up. These are principles that our God created. Men are discovering it. How can they defy you? I'm telling you, you don't need any boy to be your boyfriend to give you value. No. The Bible says we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency shall be of God, not of man. What makes you valuable is inside you. It's not outside you. Don't allow any cult group market you and treat you like an animal to make you feel you are relevant. What gives you relevance is inside you. It's inside you. Avoid sin. Walk with God. You will bring it out. And can I shock you? You don't need to graduate from the university to make impact. Right here on campus, you can make so much difference that even the DC will look for you. Dominion. But sin has robbed us of glory. He said, for all have sinned and falling short of the glory of God. So glorified men can become servants because of sin. That's how powerful sin is. Number two, force that stops you from walking in dominion is the force of ignorance of your identity. If you don't know who you are, you can't walk in dominion. The first thing God gave man before dominion was his nature and his likeness. And the reason he gave man his nature and his likeness was so that man will have an identity. That his identity comes from God. So if a man wants to discover himself, he has to discover God to discover himself. So the first thing God gave man, critically speaking, is an identity. And the day you lose your identity, even if you are a God, you will fall. One of the ways to dethrone a God is for him to lose his identity. Psalm 82 verse 5 and 6. He said, they know not, neither will they understand. He said, they walk on in darkness.
He said, I have said, ye are gods, because you are the children of the Most High. He said, but you will fall like one of the princes. That means even gods fall when they lose their identity. So if a man will walk in dominion, he needs to have his identity in Christ intact. The day you lose that identity, you lose dominion. Obadiah 1:21, he says, saviors shall come up from Mount Zion. Saviors. To judge the mountains of Esau. So the power we have to judge Esau is traceable to our realization that we are saviors from Zion. Anywhere identity is affected, dominion is lost. Miles Monroe said, when the purpose of a thing is not known, is that the abuse is inevitable. When a man loses his identity, he will lose dominion. Why will a young girl who is just about to discover her purpose and destiny become an object of pleasure for another person? She doesn't know who she is. If she knows who she is, she will know that before any man touches her, that man will go through something sweat. He will first of all trace her to her house, honor her parents, and honor her by doing the right thing. That a man even looks at you and imagine that he can touch you. You are not his wife. It's an insult to your womanhood. How dare you think you can touch me when I'm not your wife? You have not met my parents. You have not paid my bride price. You have not publicly told the world my value to you. You want to sneak me to a hotel at night to make a mess of me. Who told you I'm that cheap? But it's so unfortunate that we are in a generation that men are not even looking for women. They are dressing naked and advertising themselves. In the days of our mothers, you couldn't even see the leg of a woman. When they tie wrapper, they double it. When they wear skirt and gown, they wear another material inside, black. Today, without soliciting, just stand, you will see more than 30 naked women. The whole lap, the whole breast is everywhere. Come and carry me, I'm here for you. And then they are angry when people talk to them. Are you not the one who advertised yourself as cheap? How many women who are properly covered are undermined? We must wake up. We have value. Know who you are. When you do, even your lecturers will respect you. You find young men wasting their life in nightclubs. People who should be studying to open their mind to bring solutions to the world. In the days where they should invest their energy, they are wasting away for pleasure. And when they go out, their lives don't solve any problem. They become part of the problem. The first time I entered my university, the first thing I read on the wall was, the world is ruled by ideas. Make one. When I saw that write-up, I stood there and I told myself, I will create something that will rule the world. So I didn't have energy for what young men waste their time. Wake up! All of the questions of the world are waiting for you to answer. You don't have time in the nightclub. You don't have time for gambling. This is the time to open your mind. See yourself as one of the answers to the crisis of your generation. As though spend time to develop so that you will solve the problem of your generation. The places you go to, how many leaders do you see there? You are in a bush joining a court. Do you see any responsible person in this world with you there? How many leaders do you see in that bush? The nightclubs you go to, how many leaders do you see there? The people you see on TV giving instructions to nations, do you see them where you go to? So who told you you will end up there? Discover who you are, especially as a child of God. As a child of God.
anywhere I come to reveal God. So there's an understanding of who I am. They say they know not. Neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. I have said, ye are gods. Because you are the children of the Most High. They say, but you will fall like one of the priests. I prophesy over someone. Nothing will make you fall. You will manifest in your generation. Please sit down. When I discovered this and began to develop myself, everything changed. I go to nations, they receive me like a king. Not once in a while, sir. And not that these things move you, but the people are compelled to do it. Because there's a dignity that comes out of you. The other day I was in Botswana, Zimbabwe. They literally shut down the whole street to receive us. All the cars were crested with my name. A procession was going on ahead. Donkeys, they brought animals. They were moved like a king. I was sleeping. And my friend tapped me and said, this thing is for you. I said, no, it's for Jesus. I'm sleeping. I'm tired. Sleeping. They will receive you like a king. If I want to travel around this world, every day I'll go to a nation. Every day. And the standard is the same. In the last 3 weeks, I've been to 3 nations. Preaching to people who gather to hear what I have to say. You think I was drinking alcohol for 30 years and I come up like this? I'm not saying somebody has not fallen before. I have lost my way before. But God brought me back. And I continued in the path of self-development. Don't waste your life. Your youth is one of your biggest assets. Don't waste it. Find out who you are. I listened to Bishop David Oedeko many years ago. He said, there are things kings don't do. And because he knows he's a king, he won't do them. Nobody knew him at that time. It's not when you become popular that you wake up and start acting. No. It is discovering who you are that takes you there. So from day one, he dressed corporate, wore his tie, and behaved like a king. Those who know me many years ago will tell you, when I have just one white shirt, one black trouser, every day I will wash and touch it and wear it with tie. It's not about how many clothes, it's about mentality. And when you start living like that, even your friends will first of all know you are their leader. Identity. The reason many do what they do is because they lack identity. You know why I can't drink alcohol? I'm a priest. I know I'm one. I know I'm a priest. I'm a priest. I know it. I can't do many things because I know who I am. Many are not walking in dominion. And so even when they come and start talking to demons, demons are wondering, who are you? That's why you are shouting Jesus, Jesus. Nothing is happening. Because you don't even know who you are. You have to be a sponge to wield that power called the name of Jesus. The authority is in your sonship. First. If you don't know that you are joined to God, you won't know you have the right to use that name. So even when you call it, it will be religion. But those of us who know first the revelation of the name, then who we are in God, when we call it, things happen. And we call it from nation to nation, and things happen. People have lost their identity. Environments have redefined people. I was talking to them in Lagos the other time, and I told them, don't become a phone thief because you say you are a Lagosian. Don't let an environment define you. Let the word of God define you. The word of God calls you a king. It calls you a priest. It calls you an ambassador. It calls you a son of God. It calls you a light of your world. It calls you the thought of the earth. When you allow it to enter you,
it will create a new reality in you. Number three, force that negates dominion is the force of fear and unbelief. One of the ways Satan will attack you is to put fear in your heart that is not possible. If you don't do it, how will you know it's possible? I dare anything. I rather do it and it doesn't work than to walk away and regret why I didn't try. I dare everything because I know that if I allow fear, my faith will be crippled. And unbelievers kill people. Do you know the disciples of Jesus? When Satan attacked them, it was not with sin. It was with intimidation. So that fear will enter their hearts. If you study Acts chapter 4, it said the doctors of the law called them and beat them and told them never to preach in the name of Jesus. Fear entered them. But the Bible said they returned to their company. Acts 4:31. And when they had prayed, it said the place where they were was shaking. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost again and boldness. The moment boldness came, in verse 33, it said with great power, God gave them witness of the resurrection of Jesus. Great grace was upon them. Don't let anything kill your boldness. Some of us, unfortunately, the way we were raised, fear was programmed into us. And I'm an African child, so I know. Our parents, in a bid to teach us morals, went a bit too far and killed our confidence from children. In my house those days, they are plates that you never touch until a visitor comes. Visitor that comes once in a while is treated like a king. Meanwhile, we who are supposed to carry the posterity of the family were mentored like slaves. So when visitors come, they bring new cups, they bring new plates. And we can eat in rubber plates. So we got used to thinking like servants. So visitors come to our house and remember their kings. But we were taught to be slaves. You didn't even have courage to air your opinion. If my dad shows up, everybody just reverse and leave the palace. And it affected us even in Christianity. Until the Holy Ghost told me, there's a difference between humility and timidity. There's a difference between boldness and arrogance. You are arrogant when you undermine authorities or people. But you are bold when you are able to stand for the truth. There are two different things. And if you are not bold, you can never exercise dominion. You know one of the secrets of the lion is boldness. Proverbs 28 verse 1. It said the righteous is as bold as the lion. That means the power of the lion is not necessarily strength. There are many animals that are stronger than the lion. I know the lion is built to fight with the teeth and the nails and all of that. But there are many animals stronger than the lion. But the lion has a heart that no other animal has. So he rules the jungle by boldness. And can I shock you? One of the things God gave us in the Holy Ghost is boldness. 2 Timothy 1 verse 7. It says God has not given us the spirit of fear. But of what? Of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Because dominion depends on it. When we started, people would look at us and say, what are these ones saying? We look funny. 15 years ago, we didn't even have money to eat food. 500 naira, six of us will share. Buy two plates of food, all of us will eat. But we will stand and say we will shake this world. Nations will call us. Kings will honor us. And we look funny. And you ask us how, we'll carry verses of scripture. That was all we knew.
and we will talk it, we will be charging, we will be excited. From Benue State, you are not even in Lagos, you are not in Abuja, you are not in Port Harcourt, you are in Benue, you are talking in Benue. Almost all the jobs we knew were civil service jobs. We didn't even see entrepreneurs who had money to do something for us to believe. Every family that is doing well have one car. That's the share. So anybody who is going out, who has clearance, can drive it. A family that has two cars was the envy of society. That was the zenith of what we knew. But we found from scriptures that we will lend to nations. We found from scripture that we were not the light of our community, that we were the light of the world. We found from scripture that we were the joy of many generations. And we dared to say, thank God we said it. Today, that which we said, we are walking in. 3 weeks ago, I graduated students from our work in London. I came back straight, went to Ghana for apostolic invasion. I returned straight, went to Dubai. I'm going to Australia next week. The nations are like the next door. Can I beg you? Anything God puts in your heart, say it. It doesn't matter whether you are young or old. It doesn't matter whether you are male or female. The Bible said, as thou knowest not how the bones are formed in the womb of her that is a child. It says, so also knoweth not thou the ways of the spirit. At 70 you can shake the world. At 15 you can shake the world. It says, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast obtained strength. Don't let anything kill your faith. When we were talking, many laughed at us. Said they are high-minded. I will tell my sisters, I will write blank checks for you people. They were the ones giving me money. But I will tell them, you are blessed. Your children will live like kings. Nothing to show. But today, they are all on monthly salary. And if I tell you the figure, you will shout. All of them, their children are on allowances. It doesn't cost you anything to bear. If you fail, you are not the first. Thomas Edison alone has failed for all of us. You are not the first. Fail! And fail early. So that you have the opportunity to what? Try again. I knew when I prayed for the sick, they died. I knew when I prophesied, it didn't happen in my presence. I never saw. Today we go to nations, we talk, the sick are healed. People, your faith depends on it. I'm not talking fleshly pride. No, I'm talking spirit inspired boldness. I'm talking word inspired boldness. When the word of God comes alive, when the Holy Ghost spares you, believe me, say it. You will be shocked what will happen. I don't preach with my mates because I've said some things ahead of time. No pride, in all humility. For this young boy standing here has been invited to preach on platforms of fathers. I'm just coming from Lagos, preaching for Reverend David Ogweli. So long as that platform is open, some of us have been invited. So it's not about age, sir. If it is age, we are not qualified. But we spoke. Heaven recognized it. The first time they invited me to speak for that EA Adeboye, I was asking, what am I preaching? He said, when the heavens be full of rain, they will empty themselves upon the earth. Sometimes they check my itinerary. Only bishops inviting me are more than 20. If I were to be in those churches, at best I would be a canon, not even a venerable. But we have spoken into the future. When the future came, he had no choice but to reveal what we said. If you allow the devil kill your boldness, you are talking failure.
you are feeling people's, you are receiving people's sympathy. You are talking fear. You are receiving people's sympathy. You are selling your future. You don't need anybody's sympathy. Don't talk failure. Don't talk fear. And people gather around you, they are saying, hey, yeah, and you are feeling good momentarily. No! Don't look for, hey, yeah. Don't look for it where. Talk what you are looking for. Did you see God? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. God didn't come and say, ah, how did this world get destroyed? I spent all my power to create this world. What happened? No time for lamentation. The Bible said, God said, light be. Light appeared. Let the green vegetation come. They came. That's how we function in the God realm. You talk what we want to see. It said, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. And the things which are were not made from the things which do appear. You may not have seen it, yet talk. It says, him that observeth the wind shall not sow. Don't wait for the answer. Talk the answer, it will manifest. You are listening to me now. It looks as if you will not graduate. No, sir, you will graduate. I came to tell you, you will graduate. I came to tell you, you will not just graduate. The moment you graduate, doors will open.
Looking to be born, for the ancients to arise, for the princes to arise, for the prophets to arise. Hallelujah! 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 Hallelujah!
Mantles have been given to the church once again. Mantles have been given to the church once again. For the kings to be born, for the nations to arise, for the princes to arise, for the mantles to be taken.
Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
Your heavens open now. Your heavens open now. In the name of Jesus. This is how we dominate us. We refuse fear. I was so busy this year. We were supposed to be in Australia, first week of May. And I was so busy, so I couldn't go to apply for visa. Traveling all over the world. I only applied 15 days ago, in the month of March. The visa didn't come out until yesterday. And so I called, what's happening with the visa? We have booked flights. Flight alone is more than 30 million. That's a 28-hour journey by air. We have booked flights, you have paid for facilities. Where is the visa? They said there was no visa, so I made some calls, and one of my persons there called one of their senators. And when the senator contacted the immigration, the message they sent back, where's my iPhone? This, what I'm telling you, are practicals of life, sir. This is not theory. Open Godwin there. And check, the senator wrote that they approved 50% of visas after 77 days, and they approve 90% of visas after 90 days or something. He said, your people just applied 14 days ago. It will be a miracle if the visa comes out. Do you know how many $1,000 we have spent? Instead of panicking, I said, if it takes a miracle, then let the miracle happen. See, this is how we live, sir. Please open Pastor Godwin for me and Tracy. I want to show you practicality. We are not talking. We are not talking. We were supposed to go to Ghana 2 weeks ago. They gave me budget, $50,000. I said, no, the money we are supposed to spend for this month, we have spent it. I can't do that. Reduce the budget. They did what they could do. The thing was not going anywhere. Publicity has gone everywhere. There was no time for panicking, sir. We were not born into a tribe of those who fear. We're not born into fear. And I said, although the cloud may not be dark, the valley will be filled with water. In 2 days, they reached me. Somebody lost a piece in the U.S. Sent $50,000, one person. We work hard, though. But we know other principles, sir. If all we know is hard work, then we are men of men. There is a God component in us. After we have worked hard, we know other things. When we talk, things happen. I'm teaching you principles. Have you seen it? Where he spoke about the visa. If I don't show you this, you think they are talking theory. Come. I want to call anybody randomly. Come. Because sometimes when we talk like this, they think you are making it up. Read this for me, please.
Home Affairs Service Standard for the 4008 visa are 50% in 77 days, 90% in 9 months. The application lodged on 14 March will be a miracle if they get them. Later sent, my staff will send a copy to you.
I'm not talking stories. Can I surprise you? In 48 hours, the visa came out. In 48 hours. That means the visa came out in 16 days. When you fear, you open the door for Satan. But when you stand your ground, if it takes a miracle will happen. Can I insist for somebody? I decree and declare over your lives, any power that is insisting that you must fail, I contend with them now. I contend with them now. By the blood of Jesus. And in the name of Jesus, I command them to go down. I command them to go down. I command them to go down. In the name of Jesus Christ. Some of you, they have sworn that nobody will graduate in your family. You are the only one in the university. Trying to break a yoke, for Satan won't leave you. I prophesy over you. From this hour, let the door open. Everything you need, from favor to financial resources to intelligence, they are activated in your life now. Thank you, Father. Please sit down for a moment. Our time is best. Maybe I take one more and then we shut down. Number 5, right? Oh my God. I thought I had trouble. The force of wrong association. If you know you are an eagle, better look for one and fly with you. If you join those, you will lose your crown in destiny. Most of us are where we are because of the people we surround ourselves with and the things they have invested into our minds. In 1 Corinthians 15:33, it says, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupt good manners. Evil company corrupt good manners. It says if you walk with the wise, you will be wise. You want to graduate with first class, second class, upper. You are talking with people that all they say from morning till night is about girls, nightclub, and occult. You are deceiving yourself. And then, beyond passing exam, you want to be great in destiny, look for people who have vision while they are in school. You will make a mediocre out of your life if you surround yourself with the wrong people. The kind of people I sit with are people who talk things bigger than what I'm experiencing. So when I hear them, I'm charged. You never catch me. If I'm talking to anybody who is not at my level, I'm mentoring that person. And that person doesn't talk much. He only asks questions. I do the talking. Don't invest your fear into my soul. Don't invest your confusion. If you have questions, ask, I answer. But if I'm there, I teach you. The tables where I sit and people talk, I see their lives. They are making more impact than me. Wisdom is justified by her children. You think you don't gather yourself around people who are going somewhere, you will go somewhere. Apostle Selman said, if you are with five fools, you didn't count well. They are actually six because you are number six. Sounds funny but true. Somebody say he wants to be a leader. He is with failures. He is not mentoring them. They are his friends. And he says he's going somewhere. No, you are not. I'm not saying you shouldn't have relationship downwards. Mentor them. But the people who talk into your life, they must be doing what you are doing or better. Otherwise, they will sow fear into you. They will sow failure into you. Because people's words are a product of their thought pattern. And their thought pattern is who they are. They say, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. That's how it is. Those days when I didn't have much friends, I made friends with great people through their books. Those who know me will tell you, enter my room, books everywhere. Because I don't have to be with you to be your friend. The idea of friendship is to rob minds. So I can get into your thought pattern through your book. And I read books of great men. The likes of Dr. Miles Monroe. I ate all their books on vision. On kingdom. I chewed them every day. I could recite them. And then I sat with messages and sermons. Those days we listen to Bishop Oedipo and we could recite his tongues. Sat with people like E.W. Kenyon, Kenneth E. Hagin, Billy Akani. We sat on their materials. If you start anyone, we call the name of the message for you. We ate and ate and ate these things until we couldn't think differently. And I was not only focusing on preachers. Ask them, they will tell you. Most of the American presidents, most of the British prime ministers, I have their speeches in my laptop. I will sit down for 40 minutes. I'm listening to a speech by Barack Obama. I'm not going to preach what he's saying. I'm just wowed at the intelligence. A man is delivering a speech 40 minutes without consulting a book. I don't believe in his ideology, but I can't deny his intelligence. You can't see if that man talks unless you don't listen. He will woo you just by listening to him. I start with speeches of the likes of Martin Luther King Jr. With St. Churchill. We start with their materials. You think we just become great by loafing around? Most of you don't. You have not rubbed minds with any great person. Either physically or through their sermon or through their speeches. You don't know what it means to have dominion. That's why little things bring anxiety. I've watched presidents and leaders, even when they are going to war. As I'm sitting here, I follow most of the correspondences from Netanyahu, Prime Minister Modi, from Donald Trump, from Putin, from Volodymyr Zelensky. I'm hearing how they are, what they are doing in warfare. The manipulation, the wisdom, the skill. That's how kings talk. Somebody's under pressure. He's acting as if all is well. And he will shift the tide. Eventually he will take charge. We study everything and anything. You find people, they waste their time. I'm not saying don't have time to play, to exercise. Once in a while, I can go and play a video game. I can go and play football once in a while. But that's not what defines me, sir. You are in the university, you say you are an engineering student, and you have a PS set in your house. You have two girlfriends, you say you are smart. That's why we are not raising people who are going anywhere. Because wrong association has eaten them up. Some of you, this year, this is the first time you are attending a meeting where somebody is inspiring you. This year, this is the fourth month. I've been preaching from January, but you don't know how many great men I've sat with to be inspired. First, in where God has planted me, then in other areas that is necessary. The other time, I carried my whole family. We traveled to the redemption camp to see that he had the boy. Just sit down here, let him talk for 30 minutes. Just by coming around him, there's an energy. You look around you, you see the redemption camp. This is what one man has done. When you return, you can't be normal. You can't be normal. You cannot be normal. And then even those who you call your friends, they are moving at the speed of light. Every day they are taking over. I sat with a friend at the airport, and the guy heard that I had a television station. He said, "What? How much is it per month?" I said, "It's $5,000. And you are paying?" I said, "Yes." In 2 weeks, he started his home. I'm not talking, this is not competition, this is inspiration. He sent his workforce to our ministry to learn what we are doing. Today, they're all over the place. He has done it better than me, who he learned from. Be inspired! You have an association as a student. What you don't have answer for, none of them have. So where you fail, everybody is failing. And you say you are going forward. Any question you can't answer, no other person can answer it. So the candlelight you have is what everybody is using in that big darkness. No, it doesn't work like that. As I am like this, if my health is under attack, I can call more than 10 people who, if they speak, I can be healed. Because of the level of authority they have with God. If I need money now, it won't take me 10 minutes to raise 100 million. I can call 2 people who can give me that money cash. It won't take me more than 10 minutes. If I need money now, if I need to go, and I'm not saying from any part of the world, anywhere I want to go to now, it won't take me 20 minutes to get it started. I was supposed to go preach in Lagos 2 years ago, and then I was in Calabar. They moved my flight in Calabar. I boated across the water to Akwa Ibom to catch a flight. I got there, it was airborne. They wanted to book a flight in Port Harcourt. There was no time. Somebody heard in Lagos that Mike can't come. In less than 1 hour, 30 minutes, they flew a private jet to pick me. This is called association. Didn't you see the life of Jesus? He had disciples that were willing to die to preach his message. And then he had secret disciples that when he died, somebody could talk to the king straight, and they gave him a new tomb to bury him, because the body can't stay overnight. You carry your phone, you scroll for 1 hour. There's nobody who can do anything spiritual. There's nobody who can do anything financial. And then you can say, okay, I'm not yet doing business. Even in school where you are, any equation you can't solve, there's nobody who can solve it. And the one who can solve it doesn't have your time. The only kind of people you can call in the night and they come are those that say, hey, how far? Club day. And you pack yourself to go and dance in the club and drink alcohol. So your role models are those in the gutter. Because when you drink, that's where you end. Please welcome. The last time my father paid my school fees was in 200 level. I begged him not to. It became a battle of pride. He said, I must pay. I said, no, you won't. And I paid the PhD level. Don't tell me you are small. Go ask David how old he was when he killed Goliath. We have wasted our lives. At your age now, if you begin to study after those in your field, For 6 months, you'll be shocked. The inspiration that will enter you, the things you start imagining on campus. Do you know that some of your mates are the ones creating some of the games you are playing here in China? The memory card you are buying, the games you are playing. Some of them are not even at your academic level. They are the ones creating it. But you are not aware, so you are not challenged. If you don't have any good person around you, ignore everybody around. Go and buy books. Make friends with people through their books. Nobody says all your friends must be alive and in your environment. Some of my best friends are dead. I was glued to Kenneth Hagin, never met him. E.W. Kenyon died before I came into ministry. But we were best of friends. I sat on his book. I've listened to too many messages from Father Womack. He doesn't know me. But I can call him my senior friend. Because any topic you mention, I can tell you what Father Womack is thinking. I know his mind. So your friends must not be physical friends. Sometimes when you have too many physical friends, it becomes a distraction. Make friends through books. And if you are a spiritual man, find them in the spirit. You don't know? Don't you know that while we are on earth, some people have relationship with Elijah? You are not aware? Jesus stood on the Mount of Transfiguration. Moses and Elijah came and met him. They are not there. They are called spirit of judgment made perfect. I don't want to go mystical with you tonight. If I say something, say you may not be able to receive it. But I have met people who are not of this world. Association is the key for dominion. Finally, one of the greatest forces that negates dominion is prayerlessness and lack of spiritual discipline. I will stop here. Hope you know I didn't call Satan. He would have been the last I would have called. Because I don't want to give him too much honor. Because Satan also stops people from dominion. You see how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power. Who went about what? Doing good. Healing all that were what? Oppressed of the devil. So Satan stops people from dominion. Acts 10, 38. In Luke 13, 16, it says, ought not this woman, being the daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has these 18 years bound, be let loose? So Satan stops people who don't have understanding of who they are. But I'm not dealing with Satan today, deliberately to show that he's not important. But the fifth factor that stops you from walking in dominion is lack of spiritual discipline, particularly prayer. Jesus said in Luke 18 verse 1, he said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. That means if you are a man, if you will get what you are looking for in life, he said prayer for you is something you ought to do. It's not something you should do if you feel like. Men ought always, not sometimes. The problem with us, why we don't exercise dominion, is that we pray sometimes. When we go for a revival meeting and we feel charged, we pray for 2 weeks. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. If you don't pray always, you will never exercise dominion. The apostles walked in dominion because in Acts 6:4, they said, it is not meet for us to give ourselves to tables. We will give ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. We will give ourselves. You will hardly find anybody walk in real dominion who is not given to prayer. He said in James 5:16 and 17, Elijah is a man subject to like passion, just as we are. He said he prayed earnestly that it should not rain, and it rained not on the earth for a period of 3.5 years. So Elijah didn't just declare because he was a prophet. He declared after he had prayed. Most of us are standing and talking things that we have not first of all bettered on the altar. Every manifestation you see in this kingdom is a child. A child born from the womb of prayer. As soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. If you don't pray, you will not bet any manifestation. Your life will be barren and there will be no results. A generation of praying people must wake up. Otherwise, Satan, circumstances will make a mess of us. Jesus has given us all the authority, all the glory, but for us to walk in it, we must be connected to God. First, by faith in the word. Then secondly, through priesthood of prayer. If we don't give ourselves to prayer, we will become a ridicule. Even the God we speak of, men will use that name to mock us. You will find yourself, people will ask you, where is your God? And you will not know what to say. Because the answer is not to say, my God is in heaven. The answer is to go to the altar. The Bible says, let the priest weep between the altar and the pouches. Else, the people will ask them, where is their God? So, it is our choice to live a glorious life or to allow ourselves to live in ridicule. And that choice is made whether we come to the altar or not. It said the fire on the altar, Leviticus 6:12, must not be put out. It said the priest must put wood on it, what? Every morning. Paul was speaking to Timothy. He said, this commandment give I thee, Timothy. 2 Timothy 1:6, that you fan to flame the gift of God that was put in you by the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. There is power in you, sir. There is dominion in you. But have you fanned it to flame? Have you stirred it up? Men may tear you off from time to time. But if you want to lead charge, your altar must speak. If your altar is not talking, Satan will make a mess of you. A people of prayer needs to be born. Otherwise, our Christianity will be reduced to talk. There will be no evidence. Meanwhile, Jesus didn't send us out to talk. He sent us out to be witnesses. Proof producers. That's why the first book written after the Synoptic Gospel was not called the Messages of the Apostles. It was called the Acts. The Acts. The Demonstrations of the Apostles. But the apostles themselves told us, we will give ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. So if we also want to have acts that are vetted, functioned by the Holy Spirit, we must give ourselves to prayer. The hardest thing for a Christian to do is to pray. They can talk from morning to night, but when you say pray, they begin to doze off. And so Satan waits for them. I read a scripture that made me swear to myself, I will be a priest all the days of my life. Isaiah 56 verse 9. I will round up there. It says, all ye beasts of the field, I'll show you what happens in the spirit realm when you don't pray. It says, come and do what? Devour. All ye beasts in the forest. That means Satan is waiting for you to slumber. He won't come alone. He will invite all his colleagues. And the agenda is one. Devour. All ye beasts, come. Devour. All ye beasts of the forest, come. Why? What gives Satan the temerity? Verse 10. You will see why. He said his watchman. His watchmen are what? They are what? Ignorant. They are what? Dumb dogs. They cannot bark. They sleep lying down to slumber. This is what gave Satan authority over you. Imagine what Satan was calling God's children. Dumb dogs. So a man who cannot pray in the demonic realm is reduced to an animal. That's why demons ride men. Because they are no longer watchmen. They are blind. They are ignorant. They are living in sleep and slumber. And they can no longer roar. The day you begin to roar, your victory will come. Mike Moreau told a story in one of his books. He said he traveled to Harare in Zimbabwe. And the king asked him to sit and told him a story. And this is the reality of many Christians. He said the king told him, once upon a time, there was a sheep rearer who was grazing by the wilderness, by the forest, the mountainside, and he found the kid of a lion, a cub. At first he was afraid because he thought the lioness was around. But when they ran, after a while, they noticed that the cub was dying. So he said the rearer took the cub home. And because he couldn't return the cub, if you return it, you will go with it now. Because the lioness will make sure you don't come back. So they kept the cub. And the cub started growing with the sheep. After a while, the cub grew into a lion. But the cub was eating grass. It had been under that guy for long that it assumed it was also a sheep. One day they went to the riverside, and as the lion wanted to drink water, it saw its image and ran. Because it thought another creature was coming from the water to devour it. Because all the while, it was seeing itself as a sheep. That's the problem with most of us here. You live around girls that fornicate around. So you think you are one of them. You are not. You are a Deborah. You are not one of them. You live around boys that are given to alcohol and smoking. So you thought you are one of them. You are not one of them. You are the representative of Christ on this campus. If Jesus will manifest here, it's through you. A lion became a sheep by association. They fled until one day, as they went to graze. I think this story is in a book, my Zoro titled The Power of Vision. Go get it and read it. As they were grazing, suddenly a lion came out of the forest. The sheep, the shepherd, all of them ran. But this lion that grew up as a sheep had seen this figure before. Although it was running, but when the lion roared, he looked as if he knew that language. He couldn't communicate, but something in him woke up. This is your tribe. This is your brother calling. So it was running, but it stopped. And it turned and beheld that lion. And the lion roared again. This time around, the assurance became more. And it drew closer. And the third time, the lion that came from the forest roared. When the lion roared the third time, this lion, for the first time, came alive. And when he lifted his voice and roared for the first time, he said the whole forest shook. From that day, that lion walked into the forest. It never returned as a sheep again. Do you know why we travel from place to place? Do you know why I'm telling you my testimonies? Because I am roaring as you. I am not the only one in this order. You too are like a lion. You too are a lion. We were all created in the image of the lion of the tribe of Judah. So when I tell you my testimony, I am stirring something on your inside. When I tell you what God is doing, I am stirring something on your inside. Some of you are listening to me. You are measuring my height. And you are saying, come on, this guy is not taller than me. This guy does not have two heads. This guy does not have four eyes. What is this about him? Why is he talking like this? And as you are seeing me, as you are hearing me, something is waking up on your inside. That's exactly what I came to do. I came to tell you that I am not special. I came to tell you that all of us are special. Why? Because we are all the children of the Most High God. The Bible said you are the light of the world. It said you are a city set upon the hill that cannot be hid. And what does light do? It said light shines in darkness. Darkness does not comprehend it. I came to roar at you. You are not a harlot. No. You are not a failure. No. You are not a weakling. No. God is on your inside. It said Christ in you is the hope of your glory. Something about your glory must manifest. That's why this meeting was put together. Can we pray in the Holy Ghost for 1 minute? I don't know if you have been stirred. I don't know if something has moved on your inside. But the time has come where, like Esther, you'll see enough is enough. If I perish, I perish. I will not continue on sin.
I will not continue in fear. I will not continue in failure. There is something on my inside. Go ahead and pray. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Spirit. As he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered. His raiment began to glister. As he prayed. Maroka Pata Kavariata. There is something over me. Hey!
I cannot feel my Lord. I must feel I must feel it, God.
There is a prayer of fellowship where you are just loving God. There is a prayer of thanksgiving where you are just being grateful. But there are warfare prayers. Can I tell you something? Even people who are caught can walk in dominion. The day they become tired. In Genesis 27 verse 40, the man told Esau, he said, the day you become restless, you will break the yoke of your shoulder. Then you will walk in dominion. If you don't get tired, if you don't get restless, if you don't say enough is enough, you can't be dominion. People will remain barren. You will be saying, God, why? People will be dying. You will say, God, why? People will not marry. You will say, God, why? But the day you see enough is enough, a priest has been born.
Can we pray for the next 3 minutes?
Lift your hands to what happened. He says, shall the lawful captive be delivered? Shall the free be taken from the house of the mighty? If they don't fear the Lord, even the captive of the mighty shall be delivered, and the free of the terrible shall be set free. The first thing God will do tonight is to break family altars, bondages that carry family names and dynasties. Some of you have traveled far from home, but the altars and the wicked men won't let you. The fire of God will come upon you now. Yokes are about to be broken. Bondages are about to be lifted. Altars, help me now. The fire of the Spirit. Father, wherever they are standing, anyone carrying a yoke, anyone carrying a weight, anyone tied by the forces of bondage of the bloodline, family altar, family pattern, putting sickness, barrenness, priesthood, paternalhood, stagnation. Hey! Take up your heart now. Come on, Lift up. I break the yoke. I break the yoke. What's the purpose? The fire is coming. I break the yoke. We are. Declaration with me. Say,
dear Heavenly Father,
thank you for the authority I have in Christ. Now, in the name of Jesus, I use that authority. Every force fighting my destiny, every force refusing me from experiencing all Christ died for me to be. I decree and declare. Scatter now. Fire prayer in the spirit. And I'll be out of here. Number one, lift your hands. Powers that have stagnated men. You have been on one spot,
4 years, 5 years. Both students and lecturers alike. 4 feet of stagnation. God is about to break them. He said the hand of God came upon Elijah. Some of you, before this month is over, you will receive your promotion. As thou knowest not how the bones are formed in the womb of her that is with child. There's an anointing that will come upon people here. At least 7 of you, it will rest on you like fire. It's for speed, it will move you forward. It's for promotion. Father, wherever they are standing, people, help that brother. People that have been stagnated, I come against those powers. Help her. Help that sister. Now, now, let the hand of God rest upon you. Touch. I break the limitation. I break the limitation. Usher, help them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. On ground, online. Help them. If the hand of God is on someone and it's beside you, help them. Don't wait for an altar. Help them. Carry that fire. Carry that fire. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Please help them, help them. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Number 2, God wants me to speak favor over someone. There are forces that engenders dominion. Favor is one of them. The children of Israel were in captivity for over 400 years. Exodus 12:26, the Bible says God gave them favor. Suddenly, those who were flogging them gave them gold. Wealth transfer happened by favor. Esther, the Bible said, found favor with the king. Esther 5:2. And the king said, whatever you want, I'll give you, even if it is half of my kingdom. It broke protocols and brought influence. Can you lift your hands? Some of you, you are due for marriage, no man. Some of you, you are unjustly being held down in this campus by wicked men, but no man. This is your time.
Amen.
Father, I speak over them. I stretch hands over them like the priesthood rod. Even of the order of Melchizedek. The everlasting priesthood. The dominion that has no end. And I decree and declare. Let the favor of God begin to rain down on them now. From the left to the right. From the front to the back. To the gallery. Let it come upon you now.
Hey, yeah.
What did Mary have that others didn't have? She was not the only virgin. There were many virgins in Nazareth. But the angel said, "You are highly favored." It lifted her from the class of women. There's no one like her. Exalted above women by favor. God is about to exalt someone by favor in ministry, in your career, in your business, in your academics. I decree and declare, let that grace come upon you now. Favor. It will become a weapon for someone. Thank you, Father. And as I round up, if you are sick in your body, just place your hand on your chest. Whether you have an eye problem, a leg problem, ear problem, whatever it is called. Shall flow rivers. Rivers of living water.
Out of my belly.
Out of my belly.
Shall flow.
Rivers.
And out of my belly.
Shall flow.
Rivers.
Let it flow, let it flow. Let it flow, let it flow. Let it flow, let it flow. Oh, let it flow right here. Let it flow, let it flow. 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 Let it flow, let it flow.
He begins to bring every dead into life. He gives the life giving river. Oh, let it flow right here. As a river flow. He begins to bring every dead into life. The life giving river. Oh, and as a river flow. So bring every blessing to life. Life giving river. Oh, oh, as the river flows. So bring every blessing. Life giving river. Oh, let it flow.
Out of my belly.
Shall flow. River!
I take authority over the spirits of infirmity. Whatever they are called. Blinding devils, deafening spirit, crippling demons, tumor causing devils, pain causing devils. I take authority over you in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
I decree and declare, be bound. Your chains are broken. Your powers are broken. I command you to leave them now. I speak to diseased bodies. be healed in the name of Jesus. I see. Ears hear. Bones receive life. Tendons, muscles receive strength. Tumors dry up. Blood conditions dry up. In the name of Jesus. Pains call from their body. Thank you, Father. I lose you from your infirmities. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. He who the Son of Man sets free is free indeed.
Yes, sir.
I decree and declare by the authority of the word and the name of Jesus, you are set free.
Amen.
You are made free.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Lift your hands and give him thanks. In 1 minute, do what you couldn't do before. You couldn't see. You couldn't hear. You couldn't bend. You couldn't stand. Put your faith in Jesus now and receive your healing. Do what you couldn't do. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm out of time. I'll soon be running. If you have noticed a change in your body, can I see your right hand? Wave your right hand. A pain has left you. An eye condition. Please, no problem is big. Cancers are healed like this. The same way pain is healed. That's why cancer is healed. I've seen all kinds of things happen. Casually. Because it's the power of the Holy Ghost at work. If you will put your faith in Christ. Can you lift that hand? You have noticed a change. Lift it up high. Don't be ashamed. Those of you lifting your hand, can you come to the right here? I won't take the testimonies. But let's see that you are bold to celebrate and to give God the glory.
This kind God, another one to deal.
This kind God,
another one to
deal. This kind God, another one to deal. Another one to do. 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 Thank God, another one to
do.
Thank God, another one to do.
Thank
you, Father. We give you praise. You know the problem with people, why most people don't receive, is because they are trying to determine how they should receive their healing. Somebody may be waiting for me to come and lay hands on him and say, now be healed. I'm not the one doing the work. God is only using me, and he can use anybody and anything and any method. Don't limit him. It must not happen how you think. Casually, things change.
Apostle, there are testimonies here already.
Yes. I can't take them, but I'll take only three. So pick three testimonies. Just three. And tell me.
Okay. Apostle, our brother here, she said for over 2 months, he has been having serious sore throats. Having serious sore throats, but it's difficult to swallow spit. But right now, while you were praying, he felt a touch over there, and right now the pain is gone forever.
In the name of Jesus.
This brother came in here. This afternoon, he said he ministered to someone who had growth on his armpit. So after the ministration, he realized that the growth came out on his own armpit as well.
Are you serious?
Yes, and he was having pain. But while
you sense the growth was there. How big was it?
It wasn't so big, but it was very painful.
What happened now?
So as we are praying now, the pain left. So I've been touching that place.
The growth too has gone.
Yes.
That's the demonic arrow.
forever in the name of Jesus.
So our brother here had a breathing challenge. He said he came into the camp having that issue.
Breathing. What did the doctor say? Did you see a doctor?
Yes, sir.
What did they call it?
Actually, that I'm allergic to something. I don't know, but I use inhaler.
So you struggle
sometimes
with breathing?
Yes, sir.
Oh, you use inhaler?
Yes.
They type this?
Yes, sir.
What's that stuff called now?
Yes.
Asthmatic patients use?
Not actually asthmatic.
What kind of inhaler do you use?
The one that asthmatic patients use.
You are not asthmatic, but you struggle with breathing. So they gave you that?
Yes, sir.
What happened to you now?
So, when I came into the camp, I went to carry mattress because of shortage of air inside the room. My system reacted to it. So I ran inside to get my medication. After taking the medication, my chest started paining me. But she said she lay her hands on her chest. Instantly, the pain is gone.
Jesus came in my head. That mama insisted and came out. What happened to her?
Apostle, he had, she, there was an arrow that was shot on her this morning, right? This morning at the, yes, at the market. So from then until now,
let her express herself.
In the morning, I went to market. I said, let me buy some mutton and rush to come and cook for women. So I managed. As I bent down, I picked some things. Before I stand up, something like arrow shook me here at the corner. I don't know. I managed. From that market come, I see my husband, see my body.
So you were having pain?
I said, okay, bring that olive oil that our chaplain blessed for me. He bring it. My husband robbed me.
What happened
now? I have strength. I was in the kitchen, as he said, as you are praying. He said, yeah, do that thing,
healing.
Do that thing which you cannot do before. I managed that, but all of them are in the
kitchen. You exercise your faith.
See me now.
You activate healing by exercising your faith.
See me.
Give the Lord a show. All right, take the last one.
Our brother here came in with an ear condition.
Ear?
Yes, sir.
What was the problem?
He's been having watery sensations in his ear.
Watery?
So it makes his hearing faint.
So you couldn't hear well?
At the moment you walk,
can he confirm that?
Yes.
You had watery sensation?
Yes, about a month ago.
And you were hearing faintly?
Yes, sir.
What happened now?
When you walked in, I felt the sensation. And when you started ministering, one of my ear popped open. And when we started praying, and I started roaring in the spirit, the other one, everything just started.
Hey! Hey! This kind of God, I don't know what to do. I prophesy over someone, you will not lose your own miracle. Either you receive it now, or as you are going home, you will discover you have been healed. In the name of Jesus. We can't take all the testimonies. You can write what God has done for you. Bring it over after the service. And our able chaplain will thank God for you and bless you. Is that okay? Please hear this. No sickness is big. Because it's the Almighty that is healing all. Don't make your own big. Nothing is big. When we say exercise your faith, exercise it. You'll be shocked. He created all of us. So which part of us can be diseased and he can't handle? Anybody here who is still expecting a miracle, I decree you will catch it now in the name of Jesus. That name is superior to every challenge. So I bring your challenge under that name. Receive your miracle now. In the name of Jesus. Jesus prayed for the 10 lepers. Nothing happened. The Bible said as they were going, they discovered they have been healed. As you walk out of this auditorium, you will discover you have been healed. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Now, the greatest miracle is salvation. All we have said here, you are not a part of it unless you declare Jesus to be your Lord before the church. If you are here, you have not made Jesus your Lord. It doesn't matter if you go to church. It's a personal relationship. This is the opportunity. Lift your right hand. I want to have the honor of leading you to Christ. Lift your right hand. Be bold about it. Be bold. Be bold. Don't be ashamed. If you are not ashamed of me before men, I will not be ashamed of you before my Father. Can you lift it up higher? Let's be sure you are doing so. Let's be sure. Alright. If you are not ashamed, come forward and meet me here now. Come forward. Come forward. There is a day you will wish you stood with Jesus. Come on. Come on. Come on. Tell that brother to come. Don't be ashamed. Come on. You lifted your hand. Come on.
I am a scar. Oh, I am a scar. Ay, 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 ay. Ebenezer, ay, 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 ay.
Keep coming, keep coming. You want to make your way right with God.
Ebenezer, Ebenezer, ay, 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 ay. Ebenezer,
ay,
ay, ay, ay, ay, ay. Ebenezer, Ebenezer, ay, ay, ay. Ebenezer, oh, my help has come. Salvation has come. Oh, my.
I came because of you. Your destiny is great. Don't let Satan steal it from you. One of the best places where I travel to preach is the campus. And when I travel to preach in campuses, I don't take honorarium. I didn't come here to take anything. I came here because there are people that their destinies are ahead of them. And I don't want Satan to steal it. So we came for you. From today, your life will never be the same again. But make up your mind to stand with Jesus. Alright? Stand with Jesus. The grace will be provided now. Place your right hand on your chest. Say, dear Heavenly Father, I believe with all my heart that Jesus is your Son. I believe he died for my sins. I believe he was buried. And on the third day, he rose again from the dead. Today, I confess with my mouth that this same Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. I receive eternal life into my spirit and I commit myself to God forever. Thank you, Father, for accepting me. In Jesus' mighty name, I have declared. May the Lord keep you
cause his face to shine upon you, lift up his countenance over you, and give you peace. You will not fall by the wayside. All the days of your life, you will walk in the ways of God. In the name of Jesus Christ. Ah, you see, one of you has a prophetic anointing. There's the grace, the prophetic unction is upon your life. See what God has kept in you that Satan would have destroyed. Now I speak over that unction. In the name of Jesus, let the fire of God come upon you and let it activate that unction. Father, in the name of Jesus, put your hand upon that one and let there be an activation. Let there be an activation. I release the fire. Help my sister. Help my sister. It's coming on another one. It's coming. There's a prophetic unction. There's a prophetic unction. I release it upon you. Wait. Greater weight. Greater weight. Greater weight. Greater weight. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. We give you glory.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For inquiries, please call +233 26 767 6055. +233 26 767 6055. Or send an email to info@godswordforus.com. info@godswordforus.com.